special day, Rosh Hashanah, of course, Yom Teruah. So we're having a little bit of a longer service today because we've added a few extra things into our service. But let me just take a few moments and just share some announcements, you know, for this coming week. As I said last night, we have a special oleg, and it's traditional to have around challah, apples, and honey, and as well as many other tasty morsels. So I encourage you to all come downstairs after and enjoy a time of fellowship together. We want to invite, welcome all the visitors here. As I said, my grandchildren and also my daughter and son-in-law, and then Sarah and her son David and Adele from Edmonton, and we have someone from Three Hills as well. And so there's a few people from out of town, and so we really am so glad you could come and join us. And hopefully I didn't miss anyone. I'm sure I did, but I'm just really so glad that you could come and join us today. And it really was quite a miracle that we started on time and we had so many people. Hopefully that will be kind of an example for the coming year. You will set the standard a little bit higher for yourself this coming year, right? Also, tomorrow we have a special Tashlik service. This is not an appointed time, but it's part of the whole fall feast process. During the 10 days of Awe, we meet by river. We're going to be meeting at Santa Beach Park tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So we invite anyone that like to come, and we bring our bread, and we cast the bread upon the waters, and we confess our sins, and we throw the in the water, and we remind us that God has buried our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And so we are going to have a nice time tomorrow and pray together, fellowship together, and then blow the shofar once again. So that's tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m., so you're invited to be a part of that. The address is there. Also, there will be a special home group leaders meeting today after service at 1:30 in the Oneg room, so hopefully our leaders could come for that. Just one last chance for you to get a kosher lulav. You know, we're going to be having coming up to Sukkot in just a short time, and so we're going to be waving our lulav, waving our branches, and so if you'd like to have a kosher lulav, just speak to me, and we need to get the order in this week, so hopefully if you are interested, just let me know. And we also have our Hayasot course that begins this coming Wednesday evening. And so we have manuals, here. And so you want to pick up your manual today, or you can pick it up on Wednesday. And you can join us for this special course. It's a 10-week course on God's appointed times. I think you'll really find it very, very helpful. And so we're going to offer it by Zoom as well. So, you know, for those who may be out of town, you're able to still join us. We have Rachel from Parksville who joins us every week for our studies, and she's going to be joining us from Parksville and joining together with us. And so we have people from all over who join us on live stream. You know, want to mention, Uri in Ukraine. He watches us every day, and actually has a whole group of people that have come together and they watch our service in Ukraine. But keep Uri in prayer because he's still can't get out of the country, they won't let him out. And, they won't let any of the men out of Ukraine. So just keep that in prayer. Okay. I think that's all for now. Did you want to say anything about the give and take? All right. Well, it's just a little bit after noon, so be patient with me, all right? Well, during the 10 days of Awe, as it says there, it's between Yom Kippur, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur. It's traditional to read the story of the binding of Isaac. And so in every synagogue, it's always appropriate to read this account. It's really a story of love and faith and trust and sacrifice, which are really four foundation truths that we all need to build our relationship upon. We need to learn how to walk in love and faith and trust and be willing to sacrifice. And that's really the story of this account here. And really, the binding of Isaac is really one of the most profound and prophetic foreshadowings of the Messiah found in all of the scriptures. There are many types and shadows of the Messiah seen in the Torah, and this is really one of the most beautiful, foreshadowings of the coming of the Messiah, which we'll learn about a little bit later. But it's interesting that in some synagogues, this story is read weekly as a memorial. But during the 10 days of Awe, it's especially emphasized. And so, another scriptural narrative is so often read, recited, and prayed over as is Genesis 22, that Avi read the first portion of it. So, why is the story read so often? And what does it have to do with Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah? See, the most visible symbol of Yom Teruah is the shofar. And according to Jewish understanding, the origin of the ram's horn dates back to the time of Abraham and Isaac, when God tested Abraham's faith by challenging him to offer his one and only son as a living and a holy sacrifice. Instead, God provided a ram as a substitute. So according to Jewish tradition, it was on the first day of the seventh month when Abraham performed the sacrifice. And so that's why it's considered this is the day that is the origin of Yom Teruah. But according to the scriptures, the origin of the shofar actually predates. It actually is mentioned in the time of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, and that's when we first hear the evidence of it in Exodus 19, verses 16 through 19. If we could just turn to that slide, it says that on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the blast of an exceedingly loud shofar, and all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the lowest part of the mountain. Now the entire mountains, Mount Sinai, was in smoke because Adonai had descended upon it in fire. And the smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, so the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a thunderous sound. So God, you know, had the blowing of the shofar take place right at the time of the giving of the law. There's this great shofar blast. And we know that, as we learned last night, that the coming of the Messiah will be announced with the blowing of the shofar. You know, Rabbi Yabahu said, why do we blow the ram's horn on Yom Teruah? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, sound before me a ram's horn, so that I may remember on your behalf the binding of Isaac, the son of Abraham, and account it to you as if you had bound yourself before me. So we're going to read this amazing account in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. I'm going to have my wife Jan, she's going to come and she's going to read this narrative. She's a great storyteller and a great reader. And so I thought it would be good for her to come and read this portion for you. So if you turn to the next slide, and you can follow along, Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Right here. Can you turn to the next slide there, please? There you go.
Today I'm reading from...
Why don't you just read from the slide there.
This is taken from the Jewish Study Bible, Genesis 22. After these things, God tested.
Testing. This is okay now.
After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he answered, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, together with Yitzhak his son. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, departed, and went toward the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go there, worship, and return to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Yitzhak his son. Then he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they both went on together. Yitzhak spoke to Abraham his father. My father, he answered, Here I am, my son. He said, I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham replied, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. and they both went on together. They came to the place that God had told him about, and Abraham built the altar there, set the wood in order, bound Yitzhak his son, and laid him on the altar, on the wood. And then Abraham put out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of Adonai called to him out of heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" He answered, "Here I am." He said, "Don't lay your hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you are a man who fears God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and there, behold, behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the place Adonai Yireh. Adonai will see to it. Adonai provides. As it is said to this day, on the mountain, Adonai is seen. The angel of Adonai called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. He said, "I have sworn by myself, says Adonai, that because you have done this, because you haven't withheld your son, your only son, I will most certainly bless you, and I will certainly increase your descendants to as many as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of their enemies, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you obeyed my order." So Abraham returned to his young men. They got up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham settled there in Beersheba.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. Great. Well, quite an amazing blessing that Abraham experienced because of obedience. And we're going to learn a little bit about that. You know, it's interesting, there are 19 verses in the story of the binding of Isaac, which is read in the synagogues every Yom Teruah. And there's been, without exaggeration, hundreds of commentaries and discussions have been conducted to explain the story. Some have questioned God's motives. So we're going to kind of unpack a little bit of what was just read here. Some have questioned God's motives. How could a loving God command a father to kill his son? And why would a loving father obey such a command? And what did Abraham and Isaac talk about for the 3 days as they walked together to the place where the sacrifice was to take place? Did Abraham give his son any indication of what the purpose of their journey to Mount Moriah would be? The scriptures do not say that. You know, it's interesting, the rabbis have always kind of have some little, you know, different versions of it, but they're according to the rabbis, they've commented that the scriptures say that Abraham returned to his servants, but it doesn't mention that Isaac was with them. But, you know, if you read the scriptures, it does indicate that Isaac was with them. But in this age of terrorism, where Islamic terrorists, you know, train their children to be killers and martyrs for the sake of Allah, you know, there are critics of the Bible who point to the story and accuse the God of Israel of commanding the father to kill his son. Something that God himself forbids in the scriptures. So what kind of a God would give such a command to ask a father to offer his one and only son on the altar of sacrifice? So these are some of the questions that are sometimes discussed and debated. Obviously we know that God did not, that Isaac was not sacrificed. It was intended to be a test of Abraham's faith and trust in God. And that's how it begins in Genesis 22, verse 1. Now, it was after these things that God tested Abraham. And some have asked the question, whose sacrifice was greater, Abraham's or Isaac's? Most of us would be quick to say that it was Abraham, because Abraham and Sarah waited for 25 years for the son of promise. And now Adonai was commanding him to sacrifice his most precious gift, the son of promise that they waited so long for, you know, for this to come to fulfillment. When Adonai tested Abraham to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac, there was no word of protest by Abraham. No appeal to God, you know, for mercy or justice. You know, not too long before, God pleaded with, you know, Abraham pleaded with Adonai to spare Abraham, or to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pleaded mercy on behalf of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. But yet, his own son, he did not even intercede on his behalf. At least the scriptures do not indicate that. And so during the 25 years that Abraham and Sarah were waiting for their promised son, Abraham's faith grew and grew. And he came to know Adonai intimately. God spoke to Abraham many times throughout those 25 years, appeared to him and spoke to him. And even though Abraham did not understand why he was being asked to sacrifice his son, he believed and he trusted in Adonai. Abraham had learned to hear the voice of the Father. And his faith had grown to such a point and matured that he knew God's voice. He had such strong faith that it was counted to him as righteousness. And it reminds us of in John 10, verse 4. It says that Yeshua said, "My sheep follow me, for they know my voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. For my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And so here, Yeshua said, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me." And that's where we, as God's people, we need to know God's voice. We need to know when He's speaking to us. And the Lord has spoken to many times. So tradition suggests that the real test of Echad was not whether Abraham would obey the command to sacrifice his son, but whether he would obey the voice of an angel, because it was an angel who said this, who told Abraham to sacrifice his son. Would he obey the voice of the angel of Adonai? You know, Paul spoke about this in Galatians 1, verse 8, as a warning. He says, "If we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that which is preached, let it be condemned." You know, the ancient rabbi Maimonides remarked that how had Abraham not believed in the absolute truth of God's promise, he would never have lifted his hand to slaughter his beloved son. Because earlier in Genesis 15, the Lord made this promise to Abraham that he would have a son, and through Adonai he would bless all the nations of the earth. And so how would Abraham see this being fulfilled if he sacrificed his own son? And there's a scripture in Genesis 15. It said, "Behold, the word of Adonai came to him, saying, 'This one will be not be your heir.'" He's talking about Ishmael. "This one will not be your heir, but in fact, one who will come from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up now at the sky and count the stars, if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." Then he believed in Adonai, and he reckoned to him as righteousness. And in fact, you know, whole chapter 4 of Romans is a whole chapter devoted to Abraham and the faith of Abraham and why Abraham's faith was so great. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith. And he was fully assured what God had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham's faith had grown to such a level that he trusted and believed that if his son Isaac was to die, that Adonai would raise him from the dead. That's the kind of faith that Abraham believed. And the fact it speaks of this in Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be accounted." And so Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. And so what about Isaac? Wasn't his faith, trust, and relationship with his father also tested, you know, to the extreme? Isaac was a young man and believed in his 30s. When Abraham took him to Moriah to be offered as a sacrifice, It says in Genesis 22:6 that Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and put it on the shoulders of Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them walked together. And Abraham explained to his son Isaac the purpose of their journey to Mount Moriah. And what was the reason for the sacrifice? There was no indication that Abraham said anything to his son. And there was no indication that Isaac appealed to his father to tell him. Just as Abraham had learned to trust in his heavenly father, Isaac had learned to trust in his earthly father. And Isaac obeyed and listened to his father without question. You know, just as Abraham obeyed his heavenly father without question. So there's a real beautiful picture here of the Messiah that we're going to see. The only question Isaac asked his father was, I see the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham wisely said, Adonai will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked together. So Abraham gave a very, very prophetic word in his response to his son. They walked to the top of Mount Moriah, and Abraham built the altar, and he laid out the wood, and he laid his son on the altar, and he bound him. When Isaac realized that he was to be the sacrifice, he could have resisted and fled. I mean, he was a young, strong young man. And who would have blamed him? I mean, if we were put on the altar and bound and know that we're going to be the sacrifice, that's a pretty scary experience to go through. But Isaac didn't cry out and say, Father, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? There's nothing recorded that Isaac resisted his father's command in any way. He was totally obedient to his father, even as Abraham was totally obedient to his heavenly father. It reminds us, Isaac was willing to be obedient to the will of his father without question. And so Isaac learned to trust, love and trust his father and be obedient to the point of laying down his life as a sacrifice. And the Midrash says, the Jewish writings say, why did Abraham bind him? It describes the willingness of Isaac and his obedience to his father. This is what the Jewish tradition says. Could he bind a young man without his consent? Isaac said, Father, I am a vigorous young man, and you are old. I fear that when I see the soldering knife in your hand, I will instinctively jerk and possibly injure you. I might also injure myself and thus become unfit for the sacrifice. Or an involuntary movement by me might prevent you from performing this ritual slaughter. Therefore, bind me well, so that at the final moment I will not be deficient in honor and respect, and thereby not fulfill the commandment properly. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch there. But that's according to Jewish tradition. Well, let me share just a little illustration. I've just shared this before. There was a father who shared the experience that he had with his son. And he said, while my son and I were out in the country climbing around some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, Hey, Dad, catch me! I turned around to see my son jumping off a rock straight at me. And he jumped and then yelled, Hey, Dad! Instinctively, I caught him. We both fell to the ground, and I gasped in exasperation, Son, can you give me one good reason why you did that? And he responded with remarkable calmness, Because you're my father, and I trust you. And the son had simple childlike trust in his father. And I remember when our son Samuel was a young boy, you know, I would be at the bottom of the stairs, and he would be at the top of the stairs, and he would jump right from the top of the stairs, and I'd catch him at the bottom. And he knew that I could, he trusted me that I would catch him. And so that's the kind of faith that we need to have, to know that God is faithful, that we can trust him. You know, both sons were sacrificed by their fathers on Mount Moriah. Both were undeserving of death. Both carried their own wood to the altar of sacrifice. Both were willing to lay down their life on the altar as a silent and willing sacrifice. Both were resurrected on the third day. Isaac was a type of resurrection because Abraham received back his son on the third day. So it really wasn't, he didn't really die, but he received him back on the third day, which is a type of resurrection. We know that Yeshua rose from dead on the third day to demonstrate his victory over sin and death. The place of the sacrifice of Isaac was prophetic Because Mount Moriah is located in Jerusalem. The choice of Mount Moriah as the site of Isaac's altar connects the binding of Isaac to the temples because the temples would later be built on the very place where Abraham offered Isaac his son. We know that today it's a disputed area. The Mosque of Omar is located at the very origin of Abraham's, where Abraham performed the sacrifice. In fact, according to Islam, it was not Abraham who offered Isaac, but he offered Ishmael. So today this historic place is believed to be the place where the temple once stood, and it's believed that it will stand once again. The third temple will once again be rebuilt. But it says in Genesis 22 that when Abraham and Isaac were walking together to make their way to Mount Moriah, Isaac asked his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And as I said, Abraham gave this very prophetic response. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. In other words, if we could look deeper into that spiritually, God himself will be the lamb for the burnt offering. Because later we know that it was God himself who laid down his very life in the person of Yeshua as a living and holy sacrifice. And when God saw the obedient heart of Abraham, that he was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, you know, it tells us the angel of the Lord cried out, "Abraham, Abraham, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do not do nothing for to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son." And then Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw a ram caught in the bush. He took that ram, he laid it on the altar, and he sacrificed it. You know, Abraham called the name of this place Adonai Yireh, as it is said, "To this day, on the mountain, Hashem will be seen." Another translation says, "And Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' Adonai Yireh. As it is said, 'To this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided.'" The Midrash says the original name of the place was Shalem, the name given to Shem, one of the sons of Noah, whom the sages identified later as Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. After the binding of Isaac, Abraham called it Adonai Yireh. And so in deference to both Abraham and Shem, God combined both names and called it Yerushalayim. That's where he comes to the name Yerushalayim. So Abraham's willingness to offer Isaac as a living sacrifice was intended to point ahead to the ultimate fulfillment of God offering his one and only son. That's why it's such a beautiful foreshadowing in the Torah of the Messiah. It's seen, the portraits of the Messiah are seen in many different ways in the scriptures. We know that it was God himself who offered his one and only son on the mountain. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So then how can we apply this lesson for us to today? We began by talking about how, you know, it's a story of love and faith and trust and sacrifice. And these are four principles that we need to learn to walk through. Learn how to love, learn how to walk in faith, how to trust God, and be willing to sacrifice. So when you examine your own spiritual walk, how mature is your faith and your trust in your relationship with the Father? Can you recognize his voice when he's speaking to you? If God asks you to sacrifice something that you treasure, you know, with all your heart, would you be willing to lay down that which is most precious in your own life? What do you value the most in your life? You know, your wife, your husband, your children, your job, your money and possessions, your ministry. Is there an area of your life that you are struggling with? God wants us to lay it on the altar and to surrender it all to him. Lord, I surrender it all to you. You know, there's a couple of scriptures here in Luke 9:23. It says, "If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And then again in Matthew 19, Yeshua said, Peter said, look, we have left everything to follow you. So what will we have? Yeshua said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father and mother or children or possessions for my name's sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So if we put God first in our life, if we surrender all to Him, the God will bless us beyond our ability to receive the blessings that He promises to us. And what was the tremendous blessing that God gave to Abraham? In Genesis 22, I'm not sure if we have that one there. But let me just read Genesis 22 once again. Because Abraham, the father of our faith, let me just read that portion again from Genesis 22. Because he passed the test with flying colors. And there's no greater test than to lay down your life. Especially down your one and only son who you love and who you waited so long for. Let me just read this portion of Genesis 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through all your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. A tremendous promise that God gave to Abraham, all because he trusted in his God. He had faith to believe in his promises. And we know that, how is that even possible? Because Israel represents the fewest of all peoples on the earth, only 15 million people in the world. And yet God says that their descendants would be as the stars in the heavens, the sand by the seashore, because God's promise to Abraham that in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So God is gathering together people from among the nations. And there will be literally billions and billions of believers who will come to faith in the Messiah, especially in these last days as we're getting closer to the coming of the Messiah. We're in the time of harvest. And God is gathering in a tremendous harvest at the end of the age. A harvest that would be far greater than any one of us could ever imagine. And so we're living in prophetic times today. And that's why I believe that we need to learn how to hear the voice of God speaking. Because there are many strange voices out there who are saying this is the way or that is the way. And Lord wants us to know that it's His voice that's speaking to us. And that's why we've been emphasizing so important the importance of reading God's Word. To be in His Word. To be in prayer. Because God speaks to us through His Word. So if we're not in the Word of God, then how can we hear God's voice? Because that's how God speaks to us, is through His Word. And so we need to be men and women that are growing and maturing in our faith. So I really would challenge us as we begin this new year, that God would really use it as an opportunity to challenge us to go deeper in our walk with Him. To spend time in His presence, as we said last night, that King David, the great king that he was, he said, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I may seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. And so God really wants us to be in His presence. As I said last night, we talked about how the meaning of 5784 is the word, the fourth, you know, number four speaks of door, dalet, and how God's opening many doors. And I pray that God will open many doors for us. And we know it says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us. God wants to have fellowship with us. And because we know that that will be the thing that will keep us strong in these last days, is when we have a strong and living relationship with our Father. And I believe that God really wants us to learn to hear His voice, to know that, to be able to discern truth from error, because there's lots of deception in the world today. And we need to be men and women who are awake and alert, as we shared last night, because the fall feasts really do speak about the coming of the Messiah. And so whenever we observe the fall feasts, it's really, as I said last night, it's a dress rehearsal. It's really intended to prepare us, to keep us awake and to keep us alert and keep us aware of the times that we're living, because we're living in very prophetic times today. And we're seeing so many prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. So we need to be alert and awake, because the enemy comes as a angel of light to bring deception upon the world. And he's blinding the minds of the unbelieving that they might not know the truth. And so we as God's people, we need to know and walk in the truth so that we can discern when there's deception. And we know that God is wanting to prepare us for these last days because difficult times are ahead. But as long as we keep our eyes fixed on Him, then we don't have to fear because we know where we're headed. Amen. So Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, that we can come together on this first day of the new year on the calendar. We pray, Father, we thank you for the story of Abraham. Just a wonderful story of a father's trust in you and the son's trust in his father. And we pray, Lord, that our trust in you would grow stronger and stronger so that we would know your voice, that we would hear your voice, that you would speak to us, and that we would know that we are walking in obedience because, Lord, you promised that you'll pour out your blessing upon each one of us. And so we thank you, God, as we begin this year, Father. We know that you have many doors of opportunity before us. Help us to know which door to walk through, as we heard last night. And to realize, Lord God, that you are the one that will show us the way. You are the door. You said, I am the door. If anyone enters to me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So God, thank you for the fact that we chose to walk through that door that led us into eternal life. And we pray, Lord, there's anyone here today that does not know you, Father, does not know whether their names are inscribed in the book of life. They would make it their business, Father, to hear, Father, when you're speaking. If your Spirit is speaking to their hearts, we pray you convict them and bring them to a place of repentance so they would acknowledge you, Father, and believe in you. And so thank you, God, for your work in each one of our hearts. We just pray for your blessing upon us in Yeshua's name. Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stand together as we close the time in prayer. And we just would invite anyone who needs prayer to come forward. We want to be here to pray with you. If there's anyone here that is not sure whether your name is inscribed in the book of life, we want you to know that you know. You can have 100% assurance that your name is inscribed in the book of life. Just come forward and we just want to pray with you. If anyone is in need of prayer of any kind, we just pray and invite you to come and to share together with us in Yeshua's name. Amen.